I know some people who are like, it was the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. Nope, and those people are funny. None of them are comedians, so.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we watch the movie Life of Pi, a movie that tells us its story will make us believe in God. Did it work? Well, we didn't change the name of the podcast, did we?
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Hi.
And this week, we are going to talk about a movie that Molly and Nick hated.
Yeah. It was bullshit.
And I'm pretty sure that
It had some pretty parts, but not, like, philosophically pretty.
The worst part was I knew I was going to hate it kind of the whole time, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to try to not hate it. Maybe it'll be good. And then it wasn't, and I was proven right.
See, and I knew you guys were going to hate it, but I wanted you to watch it because there's some religion stuff in there that I wanted to talk about.
We're talking about Life of Pi.
Life of Pi. Well, yeah. It's the title of the episode.
I know, but...
They're going to hear it in the little opening blurb.
I'm being official.
Be okay. So, the movie's Life of Pi was nominated for Best Picture last year.
And boo!
It was directed by Ang Lee, and it is a story of survival and a tiger.
Okay. So it's not as bad as his Hulk movie.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Wow, that's damnation by faint praise.
I will say this. Right off the goddamn bat, I was like, this movie was designed to make money off every single person who has religion at all. And it was designed so that people will go see it, and everyone who has religion will go see it and drag their either non-religious friends or whatever. So that, I mean, the whole thing felt so orchestrated to make money. Like, it didn't feel genuine at all.
I mean, that's what movies are, but the thing is...
More so.
And the reason I wanted to talk about this movie is, of course, because it starts really early in the movie. What you get told is you're going to hear a story that will make you believe in God. And, of course, as a person who does this podcast as an atheist, I heard that when we were in the movie theater watching this movie, and I immediately perked up. I'm like, oh, really? Really? What are you going to come up with? What story are you going to tell that's going to make me believe in God?
So because challenge accepted. That was your answer.
Exactly. And I was very intrigued to see how it would actually... And
oh, my God, Tim, did it work?
No. But in the fictional realm of the film, it was like, was that fictional realm going to allow for a proof of God? And even in the fictional
realm.
Right.
No, I understand what you meant. Yeah. And I think we both, Nick and I both felt the same way. You know, the challenge accepted kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, just like, all right, let's see what their whole deal, what's this going to be, was kind of my thing.
I can accept a challenge and not feel very enthusiastic about it at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, I don't know. The kid, if you don't know, the kid... who ends up being a teenager on this, you know, raft with the tiger or whatever. He believes in all the gods. He believes in Jesus and Shiva and all the million goddamn Hindu gods.
Indian kid raised Hindu.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's raised Hindu, but, like, his dad's kind of an atheist.
His dad
agnostic.
Is an atheist.
His dad is definitely an atheist.
And his mom is just kind of a pushover.
Which is something that kind of bugged me.
Definitely the bad guy.
I didn't like the way his dad was portrayed because, you know, basically every time... Pi, the main character, comes home and talks about religion. His dad is just really dismissive and arrogant and everything that I think people think atheists are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, whereas...
He says...
Like a caricature.
Yeah.
He says, I'd rather have you believe in one thing than believe in everything, because if you believe in everything, it's the same as believing in nothing. And that made me very frustrated.
Yeah.
Because that is some stupid circular logic. Believing in everything is by no means the same as believing in nothing. I don't even know how to address that fucking statement. Like, I was just like, right away, I'm like, man.
I liked the dad's reasoning, though, because it was actual reasoning. He said, wasn't there this, like, a polio story?
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about medicine and, you know, the West coming in and bringing all these advances.
That's what saved him.
It's just like, here's a guy who's never seen any evidence of gods who has seen tangible evidence and firsthand experienced firsthand benefits of advances in medical science.
Right.
And so, yeah, he's you know, of course he's going to be, like, more rational, secular, pragmatic, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and so it bugged me about how they portrayed the dad as an atheist. I was like,
yeah,
you know, I have these conversations with my younger son because he wants to believe in God, and mm-hmm. I don't sit there and go, well, that's just stupid. I just say, all right, well, that's what you want to believe. What I've always said to him is, that's fine. I don't have a problem with you believing in God. What I really want you to do is not allow anybody to tell you that they know what God's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, I think, is dangerous.
Right.
And that I think, is wrong. And
that's good advice. That's just like, it's okay to have grown-ups in your life that you like to talk to, but if they ever want to do something to you special, like, make sure you tell me or your mom.
Exactly.
It's just kind of a, yeah.
So I wasn't happy with the way they portrayed him. And then, you know, you get into the whole, we're going to tell a story that's going to make you believe in God. And I'm like, all right, challenge accepted.
Yeah.
And so you get this story of a teenager who is shipwrecked.
Not really.
I mean, he's on a life raft with a tiger.
A bunch of fucking animals.
But like, the rest of the animals die off pretty
quick. Well, yeah. It's
poor orange juice.
Big surprise. There's an orangutan and a hyena and a zebra. Breaks its legs. And so, I mean, the circle of life happens, and eventually it's just him and the tiger.
Right. And he's got to learn how to live with the tiger. And, you know, I'm going to come out and say, because you guys hated the movie, I liked it. And okay. I liked it because, number one, I like survival stories.
Yes.
And number two, I thought it was beautiful. And I saw it in the theater, and, you know, I didn't see it 3D, so I wasn't wearing those stupid dark fucking 3D mm-hmm. glasses, so the colors are just vivid and gorgeous.
Oh, it was a beautiful movie.
And it was one of the first movies we watched on our new TV.
Yeah.
And so for me, I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was a great movie, but I enjoyed the overall tapestry of the movie. And then when you get to the proof of God, there was that kind of, Pat absolutely was like a, oh, fuck you moment.
Yeah.
And my response was, well, that's the most honest proof of God that I've ever heard in my life.
It's, well, because they straight up say it's a pleasing lie.
They say it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What he says is,
the animal story.
That here's this story about this kid on a boat with a tiger.
Yeah.
And then he tells this other story about how all these animals on the boat were actually people
mm-hmm.
that survived, and one of them was his mother, and his mother is murdered by somebody.
A cook.
And he murders the cook.
Yep.
And the tiger is actually him.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, the story that probably really is true.
Right.
So
if Life of Pi had been just the fantastic tale of a shipwrecked teenage lad mm-hmm. and these misfit animals and how that all breaks down and how eventually he gets saved, if that was the movie and you chopped off everything before that and everything after that, I would have liked it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I would have loved it because it's beautiful and I thought it was really funny. We love the tiger part.
It's borderline.
Love the tiger.
It's Jungle Book, man. I mean, like, except for, like, shipwrecked on a raft, you know?
Slightly less racist. I mean, the tiger was the best part.
Tiger.
He was like a big kitten and he was with the swimming and it's adorable.
Yeah.
I'm a little frustrated that he never even, this is a zoo tiger.
Yeah.
Raised in captivity, I think we can probably guess. I mean, that he never even attempted to approach it. It's a tiger. He's grown up with the zoo.
But I mean, they do set up at the beginning that his dad shows him how vicious the tiger is.
Yeah, the tiger's not tame.
I understand he's afraid of it. No. He's probably more afraid of the tiger in that way, like because of that deep-seated psychological childhood trauma from his dad making it kill a goat. By the way, fuck you. Oh, my God, Tim. I had to close my eyes. I couldn't even watch it. I thought I was going to throw up.
I forgot about the goat.
On the record, I don't like animals eating other animals. Not a fan.
I mean, like, you accept that happens.
I get it, but I don't have to watch it.
You don't have to see it.
I don't watch snuff films either, guys, but people get murdered all the time.
So you get to the end, and you're like, all right, so what's the proof of God in this story?
I'm still not sure.
And what he says is, he tells the story with the tiger.
Yeah.
Then he tells this horrible, horrible story about watching the cook kill his mom and then turning into a murderer himself. And there's cannibalism, and it's ugly and gross mm-hmm. and horrible. And he says, which story do you like better? And, of course, the guy he's telling the story to says, well, I like the story with the tiger better.
Right.
And his response is, so it goes with God.
Yeah.
And what I think he's saying is, God's the better story, and so that's why I believe in God.
And see,
willful ignorance.
Yeah, and to me, that was honesty. It's like, at least he's like, well, I know, you know, God probably doesn't exist, but I like that story better.
I think you like the movie because of a giant leap in conclusion that is never given, because he just says, and so it goes with God, and I was like, okay, and waiting for the rest of the explanation, and then there was nothing, and then there was credits, and I'm like, that's not an answer. That's not a fucking, that's not even, what part is the part that's going to make me believe in God? The part about you surviving? You could have just, I mean, I don't know. It was set up in a way that was so like Q&A, crystal clear, and then nothing fucking was said even. I'm not saying I didn't believe it. I'm saying I don't even know what was supposed to make me believe in God. I don't even understand what "and so it goes with God" means in that instance. I think it's open to interpretation, and that's just another nail in the coffin of, this is a movie designed to make money off all religions.
If everyone walks away from it happy and saying that,
exactly,
like, a Christian person goes and see it, they're reaffirmed.
Everyone's reaffirmed. Tim was reaffirmed. An atheist felt reaffirmed by this.
But let me get back to it. I don't feel reaffirmed by it. I wasn't satisfied with it, except to say, well, I guess that's the most honest explanation I've ever heard from somebody who believes in God, in the sense that he's saying, well, I know it probably isn't true, but I like the story. And to me, that was something that not like I absolutely love that explanation.
That's my point.
Because my response was, okay, well, if that's your explanation, that's still stupid.
Yeah.
Because what you're saying is, I know God probably isn't real, but I'd rather believe in God than not.
Right.
So I'm just gonna go with that.
And I understand the, I don't know, I think maybe what I'm saying, reaffirming, makes it sound too gigantic. More like, it's subtle. In that everyone who saw it, I have a feeling, probably walked away. I mean, most, we'll say not everyone. Most people who saw it probably walked away feeling better, just in general, about their choices and life. And maybe like a little, like you, I mean, it was a positive thing to think, well, at least he's being honest. And I feel that's a positive experience you had. Despite going to a movie as an atheist that promised to make you believe in God and all that bullshit. And also it wasn't very good. So.
I mean... I can say that it's well made, and for the most part, well paced. There was only one or two parts where I was bored, but I was really bored.
Yeah.
And so I mean, you know, as far as just like removing it from the subject matter or from my opinion on the ending and all that, it's well made. It's well executed. It's very, very beautiful. It's pretty to look at. All the stupid boat hallucinations with, you know, stars in the sky and
being
deep
face.
Underwater fish. And
that girl he met for those 2 weeks that he was in love with that kept him going,
All that shit. It was like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, like
it
whatever.
Was pretty, I guess.
But to me, the interesting thing about the film is just that question of, you know, if somebody came to you and said, well, I just believe in God because I like to believe in God. And I know that there isn't any proof for God, and I know that I'm probably wrong.
How
would you respond to that?
That's my mom, basically. I mean, that's my mom. And like, well, it may not be right, it may not be wrong. I don't really care if what I believe is right or wrong, but I like to believe in God. I believe in God. I just don't have a religion, and I just feel spiritual.
Sure.
And that's how she is. And that's, I mean,
I feel like people that say that get a free pass, but if people say equally nonsensical shit, like, I know ghosts don't really exist, but I like to believe that ghosts exist, then that person's a crackpot, or Bigfoot, or whatever mystical, you know, not real thing. But because it's God, everyone, you get a free pass.
Well, and I would like to say that I don't give a free pass for that. By no means do I. I think that's the same thing as said the ghost, but I agree. That is definitely considered more rational in our society.
More acceptable.
Acceptable there. But yeah, I don't know. It, to me, that would just be like, I don't know, it's no different. It's no different than someone saying, well, I'm an atheist, but I don't want anyone to think that. I just pretend that I have a religion because that's just easier. Fuck you, dude. Like, that's not, I don't know, man. That's no good.
Take a stand.
At least believe what you,
your stand is agnosticism, where you're like, I just don't know. I just don't feel there's enough evidence either way for me to make up my mind. At least you're taking a stand.
Yeah.
Can you can you really choose to believe? I mean, if you're...
I don't know.
If you're acknowledging the fact that there probably isn't a God, but then you, lie to yourself and just say to yourself that you believe in a God despite the fact that you know better that there isn't? I mean, I just feel like there's a cognitive dissonance there. I feel like...
It might be suspecting, but not knowing. Like, maybe you suspect that no one... Like, maybe you suspect there isn't a God, but at the same time, like, it's easier to think about heaven and someone who cares about you, and you could, and praying is easy. I mean, I catch myself praying, not to God, but like I catch myself saying out loud, like, please let this work, hoping, please let this work. Yeah.
Hoping.
Yes. Audible hoping.
Audible affirmations.
Yeah. Begging, really. Just begging whatever. Like, it just makes you feel better.
Petitions to the universe, man.
Oh, man. I'm just putting it out there.
Speaking of praying, and I feel like this kind of ties into this conversation, too, in the feeling of hoping for a God existing. But there was this thing on Facebook yesterday. A friend of mine had a couple of his nieces got lost.
Yes. And our friend, too.
Yeah, okay. So you saw this.
Yes.
So his nieces get lost in Colorado National Monument. And he puts out something out there and he says, I'm looking for all the prayers I can get for my nieces who are lost.
What he literally said was, prayers, please. At the end of his post about them being gone.
And then I saw a bunch of other people who were like boosting it to literally would share it and say, I want to boost the prayer circle. I want to boost the...
Yeah.
I don't think there's... While I believe praying is not quite the least you can do, because the least you can do is nothing.
Right.
Prayer is the step up from that.
Right.
Because it really doesn't actually do anything.
But sharing does.
Prayer there is positive intent and no action.
I'm fine with sharing for the prayer circle, though, because that's all I do. I just signal boost. I mean, that's just getting the word out. Sure.
But then what happened is they got found. Mm-hmm. And when they were found, by a search and rescue team.
Yep. Professionals.
Human beings doing human being stuff.
They were also found because these two girls, when they realized they were lost, found a rock and sat on it and waited.
And were smart. Yeah.
So they were found for two reasons. One, they were smart.
Yeah.
And they did the right things. And two, there was this incredible team that's trained to go and find
all human beings
people
stuff
when they disappear.
that was actually, I don't know if you happened to see my comment on that post.
I said
that, you know, because he said prayers, please, and I went to college with this guy and was in some plays with him. He went to high school with Molly.
Sure.
He's out at the Ren Fest. He's a JC, I said, you know, man, like, you've got trained professionals. I actually have it right here. Professional heroes are out there looking for them, and that's kind of awesome. Think of the years of training and experience all focused on getting them back safe.
Right.
Like, and that's, I mean, you know, I'm not going to pray, but...
Right.
And they were found, and there was another post saying they were found, and so many people were like, thank God, our prayers were answered, blah de blah de blah.
Prayers work!
What nobody said was, wow, thank goodness, and you, I think you said it on the original one, but not on the when they were found.
Right.
And maybe I missed it, there were a lot of comments, but there was nobody said, wow, how lucky you are that they were really smart young women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that there was an incredibly well-trained team of people whose job it was to find.
Good parenting, and thank you to our government and national park system and the tax dollars that paid those people that came and helped.
It's all those things.
I know.
But instead, it's people want to believe that their prayers did it.
Mm-hmm.
Because to them, that's the better story. And so that's where it linked back to Life of Pi for me.
I think it's egotistical because what they want is for their prayers to have worked.
Yes.
They want their prayers to have worked. Uh-huh. They don't want God to have done it. They would never understand this, but it is deeply, deeply egotistical to think that your prayer should be answered and then to have it happen and be like, that was because I prayed. Like, or, I mean, that's
or just... Because, so, or because I shared it to increase the prayer circle.
Thing. I mean...
I'm a good person because I did nothing.
When they found, people that are dogs or people we've boosted signals for, missing people or whatever. I haven't been like, you're welcome, everybody. I shared that on Facebook, and they found her.
Yeah.
Coincidence? No. You know,
look at what I did.
And that's what that is. Yeah,
well, that was why they never found Jacob Wetterling, because I guess we didn't just have Facebook.
Didn't want it enough.
We didn't have Facebook to get the prayer circle. Exactly. Off. That's why.
That's why.
Yeah, and that...
Look what God did to us, man.
it just bugs me when people go, well, look, you know, my prayers were answered. Well, no.
Yeah.
No, what happened was a lot of people that were smart did the right things.
Yep.
And there are so many kids that get lost that don't get found.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you pray for them? And if you prayed for them, exactly. Why didn't it work that time?
And I have no problem with, I'm praying for you, but definitely a problem with, our prayers were answered. Yeah.
And praying is the same as, you know, if I send out good thoughts to someone, that's pretty much the same as praying for
them. Of course,
them.
Thinking of you, like, you know, worried about you guys, like, that's all that is, yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather say, what can I do to help? If there isn't much I can do to help, then saying you're thinking about it, I think, is helpful in the sense that it makes the person who's in an emotional state feel like they've got a support network.
For sure.
And so there is some benefit to that, whether it's prayers or thoughts. But other than that, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And it depends on the person whether or not that little piece of it is going to make a difference.
And that's why I was way more interested in the guy and the tiger stuff as opposed to the theoretical, like, I'm sorry that I had to kill Shiva in the form of this fish stuff in Life of Pi. Like, the actuality of, like, this is him using his brain to figure out how to deal with a tiger. Like, I have the oar and the fish and the boat switch and, you know,
That was awesome.
I'm going to throw this here and the tiger will dive in and then he'll swim back and, like, making the ladder so we can get back on the boat. All that stuff.
I've read,
like,
the hatchet and the raft.
Yeah,
and
that was all great.
Yeah.
That was all people stuff.
And I liked the making the ladder for him to get back on the boat because he has to make... At that point, he could be free of the tiger.
Yep, he could have.
The tiger would eventually drown.
Yep.
And die.
But that's not his... that's not his... Some people might argue that's not his religion, and I would argue that's not his morals, regardless of religion. Not,
at that part, Molly said something like, you know, like, no, you can be free. You can be free of the tiger. Like, the boat's all yours. And I'm like, no, save the tiger. It's protein for later. Like,
no, I said, why would he? Why would you? Like, why are you like, because I would bring him back up, but I am also not, like, my advice is not to be taken when it comes to animals.
Yeah,
I love animals, and I'm probably going to be killed by one day because I'm going to be nice to one.
That's a bunch of meat wrapped up in, like, tiger skin, ready to be eaten
later. That too. Although he's a vegetarian.
So, speaking of tangible things to help people, before we do five questions, which is about time for, we should mention the Camp Quest fundraiser. Has been running for a couple of weeks, but we already had stuff in the can.
And we've got great donations, like, already. It's great, you guys.
We're well over half by now. I'm hoping maybe by the time this episode makes it, we're already over 500.
Yeah.
And maybe could go for $1,000.
We'd love to go.
We may have been too modest with our goal.
Any dollar that goes...
awesome. And,
well, the thing is, it's like, even if it won't sponsor two whole kids, like, it's still going to go to the camp and do great things for them. Supplies.
If we sponsor less than one full kid, do they have to cut a kid into fractions?
Yeah. No, they just find a kid that fits that fraction. They find a kid missing a leg or an arm or something.
Okay, yeah, that's what they do, yeah.
Or they find a $550 goes to one two-headed kid.
Oh. That would be cool.
Yeah, one really overweight kid.
Little baby Nick. All right, anyway. So, I just wanted to make sure that we mentioned it, that it's there. It's on our website, geekswithoutgod.com.
Yep.
In the left-hand side of the screen, there's just a little Razoo button. You can click on that. Minimum donation of $10, but, I mean, geez, $10 is nothing.
Yeah.
Get a friend.
It's one-time stuff. Yeah. It's not reoccurring stuff.
Yeah.
So help Camp Quest, because they're awesome.
Yeah, please do.
Please.
So, let's do five questions.
All right.
Yeah. Who do we have?
We have five questions from our friend Mud Stuffin.
Hey, Mud.
This is Mud sent in his questions.
He's got a real name, but nobody cares.
His real name is Nick.
Oh. See, that's then. That
but he's...
We already
says,
got a Nick.
We care.
It says Mud, and it says Mud Stuffin, and he signed it Mud, so I'll have you know.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's his accepted fan moniker.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Hedge, yeah.
Yeah.
So... Question so, number one: is there any lead-in?
There is. There's no lead-in at all. All
right.
It is just, cold open. Just yeah.
No foreplay. Straight with the fucking.
Yeah. Just a dry, that's all, dry.
Set. You're a lucky lady, Shannon.
Question number one: what's the best movie that you've seen in the last 30 days?
I recently watched The Exorcist again for like the 13th time, but this time I turned the color off on the TV to watch it in black and white. It works even better in black and white, I think. I had that suggestion on another horror movie, The Mist, and that made the movie even creepier.
I've heard that about The Mist, too.
The Mist is a good movie. I can see it being creepier in black and
white.
Is
that Tom Jane?
Yes.
God, yeah. He'll always be the Punisher in my eyes.
Yeah, I just, I love The Mist. That was a really, really good Stephen King movie.
That's the Darabont one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really well done, and that's one of my favorite little short, like, it's more of a novella, it's a novella length in a book of short stories, That's a great, but The Exorcist, I don't find that scary. It's never scared me. I watched it twice, and I've just, both times, was just super bored. It's funny to me.
You have a hard time, I think, accepting a movie in its historical context for
also,
appreciation.
Demons don't scare me at all. Yeah. Like, Rosemary's Baby scared me more than The Exorcist.
That's just because she's pregnant.
Well, because it was all creepy and insidious. But also, like, it was creepy and insidious. I mean, it's growing inside you and all that. This was just like, I mean, she's fucking herself with a crucifix. She's projectile vomiting.
Creepy and insidious. Not like that movie, Insidious.
Which was just not good.
Yeah, right. Question number two, who's your favorite atheist character?
I will have to say Adam Savage from Mythbusters.
Oh.
He has said it several times on his podcast that he is an atheist.
Yep.
Otherwise, I would also say Ellie Arroway from the book Contact, Jodie Foster's role in the movie.
Oh, sure, yeah.
She's been mentioned a lot of times. Adam Savage, he spoke at like the big thing they did in Washington, D.C.
The
Rally
for Reason?
Yeah, the Rally for Reason. And yeah, he's a very... He says some good things about it. I don't have a quote in front of me, but you know, he basically said that he made the decision that there is someone guiding his life, and that someone is him.
Nice.
He there's a series of YouTube videos called like Man Cave or something like that that Adam he's on, and he does like prop recreation.
Oh yeah.
He's on the RPF forums a lot, and he does. He collects actual movie props, but then, like, shit that he can't find or you can't buy, he makes his own, like, scale, perfect replicas. And so he made, like, a Blade Runner, Deckard's blaster. He has, like, what is it? Bourne Identity. That bank case that he, when he gets his deposit box.
Sure.
And he's got that trash can and he tips it over and dumps all the shit into the trash can.
Yeah.
He found that bag from that bank and made a whole bunch of, like, stacks of fake money and fake passports and all that stuff. He made
that's crazy.
Bourne's, like, go bag type thing.
He's just a nerd.
And he really is. So those YouTube videos are great if you
that's
like
awesome.
Him.
Speaking of geeky hobbies,
question
number three, what's your geekiest hobby?
My Mud's geekiest hobby is crocheting. As a male, there are not many that crochet. What makes it really geeky is that I tend to make Star Wars characters, anime, and aliens a lot. I even made Tim his crocheted Indiana Jones.
He
traded us, Beefcake and Olive, traded us I believe it was a Stormtrooper or a Star Wars guy that we traded away in our very, like, back when we were our first year, when we would come to Max Pub a lot and trade with you guys, which we're hoping to be able to do again this year more.
One of us has an Ewok
wearing with a little hood.
Yeah, and another one has
he donated some stuff to the Fearless.
Yep.
He did.
Yep.
He does really cool nerdy
crochet. It's super.
Crochet.
Well, I should commission him to make crochet me a Doctor Doom.
You should. Oh man, Mud. Yeah. Tell Nick how much it would cost to make you for him to make.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't wear my crocheted Indiana Jones out at the festival because I don't want to.
Yeah.
He's precious.
I want to get wrecked. Yeah.
He's precious to me.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Clearly, people like Susie just don't care.
Yeah.
Oh. Sick burn. She doesn't listen.
Yeah, of course.
Question number four. What is your favorite sandwich?
I really like a grilled sandwich. Potato bread, butter each piece, slice of mild cheddar, turkey, ham, another slice of cheddar, grilled with the butter sides of bread facing out. Sometimes I will sprinkle a little garlic salt on the buttered side of the bread. God, that sounds good. I will sometimes match this up with a homemade chicken noodle soup. It sounds fucking delicious. Yeah.
Garlic salt is a big winner with me.
You wouldn't think I would like it, but I actually am very much a fan of garlic salt. I'm getting better with garlic powder and garlic salt. I'm making myself get
over it. I like garlic
powder.
I might even go without the garlic salt just because I don't need that much salt on my food.
Salt.
But garlic powder, I'm all over that.
I'm like a deer. I need so much salt. I just have a salt intake.
I added celery salt to my jerky recipe, and it's better off.
Celery salt is awesome. You got to bring me some of that.
It's super tasty.
You got to, because I really like celery. All
right.
Celery salt's the shit. It's a natural cure too. Like instead of nitrates, celery salt is a
fixed my cancer.
It's a it cures meat, not diseases. And speaking of what Molly just said, question number 5: what's the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism?
There are 2 things that come to my mind right now. First is my family was having dinner at Buca's, and they reserved the Pope's table. They asked if I would be able to eat at that table since I'm a non-believer. It's just the name of the table, not like the Pope is eating with us or bless the table. Oh no, I cannot eat at this table. I will take my meal on the floor. I rolled my eyes at them. The other thing is when I am frustrated or annoyed, I will say, God damn it, and Jesus. Me too. Amen.
Yeah, she says Jesus Christ a lot.
And one of my coworkers will be like, I thought you were atheist. Can you say those words? Again, they are just words, people. Yeah, man. This is a very common sound in our house. Oh, God damn it. Yeah. Oh, God damn it.
or Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Like, that's, I can't.
Yeah, Molly,
I say it all the time.
Blasphemes constantly.
Yeah, I got to say that if I actually went to dinner at Buca and the Pope was sitting at the table, I would totally fucking sit with I would sit next to the Pope.
Oh, yeah?
Because I'd have some things to talk about
with
the Pope.
We'd have words. My family would be like, shh, oh, you're being rude. I'd be like, yeah, I'm being rude.
He gets to be rude to a lot more people than me. I just get to be rude to him.
I don't even speak Italian, but I'm just going to say things at him.
He probably speaks Portuguese, too.
yeah, because I know that.
Well, you speak Spanish. I mean, you could probably work your way there.
If I speak Spanish and he speaks Italian and Portuguese, we can probably figure each other out, right?
What really bugs me is, would anybody say that to, like, a Muslim? If you went to dinner at with a Muslim, would you say, oh, can you sit at the Pope table? Muslim.
My mom said to my Jewish boyfriend when I was like 16, and my boyfriend was Jewish, he was coming over for Easter dinner, because my mom used to have Easter dinner, and he came over, and mom's like, I hope you don't mind, but later I'm going to have you cut the Jesus cake, and he was like, okay. And he looked at me, I'm like, we don't have a Jesus cake. She's kidding. It's a joke.
Making a joke.
It's a joke. Oh. You're a Jew. Cut the Jesus cake. Yeah. So very likely someone actually might ask the Muslim if they'd be all right.
It still seems like would you say, if a Christian said, God damn it, and you knew they were a Christian at work, would you say, you're
Blasphemer.
A Christian, should you really be saying, God damn it?
No, but now I'm going to.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones that have the rules about not saying magic words, not me.
Yeah. It's way more fun anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Mud, thanks.
Yeah. I hope I did great answers.
I sounded like Mud.
Yeah.
just like him.
Yeah.
Just like Mud. So we've been Geeks Without God. Once again, we encourage you to donate to Camp Quest. Please help us reach double our goal, because I'm sure by the time this podcast goes up, we'll already have reached our goal.
Of course, we have generous and wonderful listeners.
Attractive, too.
Oh, my God, they're so hot, you guys.
They are so sexy, every single one of them. So,
listen.
They sound less sexy when Tim says it.
800 downloads.
You can send us your answers to our 5 questions at 5questions@geekswithoutgod.org. No, not a word.
What are you doing?
Well, you know, I was thinking charity. And geekswithoutgod.com. And I'll figure out what the fuck I'm talking about later. We're leaving.
Bye.
I think we can all agree that this podcast would be a lot better with a tiger.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're without God.
In my mind, I laughed. Did I laugh?